You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
We get to head to Milwaukee today and learn about a wonderful program that serves students and families in the Milwaukee area. I am so excited to get to share this episode with you. Today's episode of The Coffee Hour is underwritten in part by Concordia University St. Paul. You can learn more about Concordia University St. Paul by visiting csp.edu. Joining us today, Lydia Beasley. She's Executive Director for SOS Center in Milwaukee. We're going to learn what that means in just a moment. Lydia, welcome to The Coffee Hour.
Thank you. Thank you. Glad to be here.
So where did the idea for SOS Center begin?
You know what? If you believe it or not, and I love these stories when, you know, they just start with like one or two people, just because I'm always impressed at what God can do, because we always think it takes a million people. So one couple decided, hey, we need to do something about this particular area in Milwaukee, more education, things like this. And we don't want to keep talking about it. Let's do it. So they opened up a space for just like a Christian drop-in center. If you needed help with education, GED, writing something or whatever, and that's how it began in 1982. And then since then, I didn't realize my own self that they moved twice. So they were on like, but for some reason, they were always on North Avenue. So they were on 37th and North Avenue. They moved to 36th and North Avenue. And then they moved to 44th and North Avenue, where we are now. Yeah.
So, this is a long history. 1982 is quite a few years ago now.
I know. And it was Ken and Arlene Greaves. And they just had like such a passion that they started out and they just kept pushing and pushing and pushing. And the program itself, when they were doing it and the other people there, they had English as a second language, sewing. They dealt with a lot of Hmong people and other ethnic groups. So it was almost like national that they were doing. And as it, when I joined, that is not what we were doing. We was a lot. We were more, we went straight to youth, parents, and anything, any guardians, anyone surrounding that.
What are the needs in that area for programming like this?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. It is a great need in that area. And also the problem is, too, is just marketing and letting people know that you're there. So I would say probably in that area, it's maybe 60% of people are under the medium of income or lower income, which means that anything that you are offered that, you know, doesn't have to, you don't have to add that to your budget is helpful. And then they get quality things that are added to your budget is helpful. And sometimes I just want to stand on a hill somewhere and say, we're here. Bring your kids. Come on. Here we are. Because it does. And because we are who we are, we also end up with partners. So we partners with other churches and other things. So we end up with partners. At one time, this one guy came along and for maybe 3-4 months or whatever, he was bringing us fresh bread. So we had that to offer to other people. It's like, hey, we have fresh bread. So different things like that. So as long as we exist, you know, sometimes people want to partner with us. Hey, we have, you know, a bunch of desk or something, you know, it's like, okay, let us call up our parents and let them know they can pick up some desk. So that, you know, that's the awesome thing about being in a place where people will, you know, collaborate with.
I have to ask, what does SOS stand for in SOS Center?
Excellent question. Strength of our Savior.
Aha. Strength of our Savior. So what does that mean? What is the strength of our Savior in this North Avenue area in Milwaukee? What does it look like on a daily basis? Yeah.
Yeah. SOS Center is a Christian center. So, and if we say, hey, what does it look like on a daily basis from Monday through Thursday, that's the after school program. So the kids come after school and they come in to get homework help. And they've learned now if they decide, you know, hey, I don't have any homework. They know we will provide them with homework. So they might as well bring their real homework. And while they're there, they will get, so they get, And, well, I'll tell a story from this standpoint. So I'm not usually there at the after school program, but I fill in periodically. So I was filling in and I'm like a rookie or whatever. So the kids come in, I'm like, okay, come in, have a seat. And it's like they mentally elected one to be the leader. Because he looked at me and he says, do you know what we're supposed to be doing right now? Oh, no. right. And, you know, I said, I'm sure you're supposed to be doing homework or something. No, we just left school. We're supposed to get a snack right now.
Everybody knows when snack time is.
Right.
No.
And then you'll do the devotional. Do you have one prepared? I'm like, fortunately, we have a lot of books like sitting out there. So I grab one real quick. Yes, I do. Yes, I have one prepared. So one of the other ones stood up and they're like, she said, I'll read it for you. So they'll get the snack, the devotional. They did the homework help. So a lot of times we depend on volunteers to help them with their homework. And we try to assign like a volunteer to a kid when we can't. You know, here's two youth and you can work with them. If not, we have a program director. She's there. And then some of the older kids that come sometimes they want to help the younger kids. And we like to encourage that because, you know, when you teach, you learn, you know, so that's how we think of it, too. It's like as you the more you teach, the more you learn. And it's not just learning by teaching them, that helping them with their math or whatever, but also learning to be patient and kind and all of that. Because we did have one that he started and he wasn't doing well in school at all, but he just became very good. He does very well in school. What he doesn't know how to do is teach. So he'll tell, like he's in seventh grade, he's seven. And so he'll tell like an 11-year-old, you don't know how to do. I'm like, okay, you're off the teaching. Let's put you on something else because this is not how you teach. So even, you know, teaching them like how to have a good attitude, how to be patient, how to be kind. And the thing of it is that when we put him into helping make other things or whatever, it really did help him. So he was helping to make quilts and stuff like that. And it really calmed him down and gave him the thought process of, you know, when I teach people, let me treat the people the way I'm treated. So, yeah. But they will do. So then after that, they get the homework help. And when they're done with that, if they finish early, they have choices of things that they can do. So we have like a game room there. They can go upstairs to the game room. Or we'll, you know, make up a game for them, or we have other projects that they can decide that they want to do. I would say, and then we do, in addition to that, we have Saturday activities, and then after the program, sometime activities. So on Saturdays, we do sewing. So it's a sewing room there and the kids can come for free. And so the parents, there's just a small fee. We have, so this is another God thing with the sewing room. So we have, because I don't sew, but I'm in charge of the sewing room. You know, it's like, go figure. And we have a room full of fabric. And that's how I entice the person who comes to do the sewing. So she comes in, and I knew her through Toastmasters. She comes in, and she's like, maybe I'll do this or whatever. And I said, well, let me let you see our fabric room. And it's like that commercial that you see where all of a sudden somebody comes in to something, and you can hear all of the sounds. And it's like, oh, yes, I would love to be here. So, she teaches the youth, and she's excellent. So she'll teach the youth that they come in on Saturdays, and sometimes we'll make an activity during the week or whatever. But our other activities, like we had a guy come in. God always sends us the most awesome people. We had one guy come, and he was going to teach business. And he heard them. They were like, you know, this guy is so boring. Nobody wants to talk to him. And I'm like, oh, my goodness, I'm so embarrassed. So I told him, I said, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I said, give me a chance to talk to them. He said, no. I got this. I'm like, okay. So when he came back the next time, he's sitting down and they're talking amongst each other, whatever. He said, you guys are so boring. Do you even know what a business is? Do you have any idea? And sure enough, they buy into, what do you mean we're boring? Yes, I know what a business is. Well, what kind of business would you want to start? I haven't heard a thing from you. So we went from that talking to we did like a Shark Tank thing where they all had their businesses together and they presented to the board and to some of the parents that we had picked. And they voted on, you know, they had, they ended up with cash prizes. And it was wonderful. One girl who rarely do you hear her saying much, she actually killed it. She knew exactly, she wanted to do gymnastics. She knew exactly what she wanted to do. So I'm standing there looking like, I've never heard you say more than five words. And you're giving a whole presentation. And she took her note cards and put them down and started talking to us. So, you know, it's like, okay, but and you learn from that. You learn as a teacher, whatever, that everything is not about teaching one way. You know, you pull out of them as best you can. And that's kind of what we do now. We have what I call our eclectic center. So we are, we've done, and we, anything that we've done, we do. So I'm going to say we've done like cooking with parents. So the parents would come in with their child and they would cook a meal together. And then we'd have an instructor, you know, teaching them how to cook something. We've had classes where they learn how to make desserts. Now, this is the most interesting one to me, because anytime we have her there teaching how to make desserts, they always try to sneak in the class. We have to go get the people who are not supposed to be in the class out of it. And it's not because she's you have to sit still, you know, sit down. She has her rules that they need to follow. They don't care. They want to follow it. And then it's not even just a treat. So I tried to figure out, like, what is, you know, so attractive about it? Because she loves them and she loves what she does. And it spills out over on them. So they love to be in her class and the compliments that she gives them. And then that part of it is also a story for us, because some years ago, I had a youth group too, from like 13 to 17 out of the SOS Center. She was one of those youth. And we did a bake sale. And when we did the bake sales, her and her friend, they did like chocolate covered strawberries or something. Well, something sparked in her and she says, I want to continue to do this. So she's one of the stories that we love to talk about. Well, she got her start with us, you know, and now she's doing, you know, what you call that? I don't know what other people call them, but I call them illusion cakes. So it looks like it's a cup, but it's really a cake. You know, it looks like it's a bottle, but it's really a cake. Yeah, yeah. And so and I'm like, wow, this is excellent. So, those type of things. So they're and one of the girls, when she taught one year, it was close to Christmas time. She asked her parents for items that they had used, like piping and measuring cups and, you know, all that kind of stuff. That's what she wanted for Christmas. And her mom said, now she makes the desserts in the family. Yeah. So, you know, like you never know how this is going to turn out. And then we did the thing with the chess guy. He comes to play chess. So sure enough, some of them were like, you know, look, I know how to play checkers. I don't need to learn how to play chess. Like, what is this woman's problem? So she said, he said, you know what? Show them. So we had an agreement in that group. We had an agreement. I would bring things to them. They had to try it three times. And after that, they didn't have to do it. They also, had to, like, if they all came together, they could literally outvote me. So I didn't think that they, I didn't think they grasped the concept of outvoting me, but they did. They outvoted me twice.
I think we should have invited the kids to this conversation today hear their perspective.
Right. Oh, they told me one of them, they said, Miss Lydia, could you please sit down? Because we've told you about this like three times and you don't get it. So we're going to draw it on the board and hopefully, you know, you'll get this. So this was their basketball tournament, but they were supposed to be coming up with another fundraiser. So I said, well, how's a basketball tournament a fundraiser? I got to rent you a gym. I got to buy supplies. You know, how is that? We get together a team and each person pays to be on the team. And then people pay to come and see us. And I'm like, well, who would come to see us? Our parents and their friends. So we did, and it did, and charged $2 admission or whatever, and they were correct. It did turn into a nice fundraiser for quite a while. What we didn't realize, because in the neighborhood and area or whatever, other kids were looking for safe and soft and nice places to play basketball. People who had referees that would referee. So we had people just coming off the street. They're like, hey, when are y'all playing basketball again? Because we want to play with you. So that became a really cool, cool thing. But the first one was when they said, well, we're going to have our opening where we're going to introduce everybody to us. And again, I said, how would that be a fundraiser? I got to buy food. I got to buy, you know, this and everybody that. Just get the spaghetti. My mom will cook the spaghetti, this, that, that, whatever. And we do. And I said, again, I'm spending money. How is that? So they stop and they look at each other. And then they look at me and they said, have you ever heard of free will offerings?
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's like, okay, fine. So sure enough, we put out a container. They had a whole program. And this is one of the things that I still hold to my heart deep. Everybody had to participate in the program. One child, he was just terrified of the thought of standing up in front of someone. And I'm still not grasping the whole thing, but I'm like, okay, well, at least you could just stand up and do this. No. Well, could you just stand up and do this? No. So we still had him slotted to do something. So when he gets ready to come up, one of the girls walks up automatically with him. And she said, he's going to do the Lord's Prayer. I'm sure you already know it. So as he does it, we're going to all join in with him. So he got up to do it, but you know, everybody else was all talking, but he had just this, big like smile on his face. He was so excited about, he stood up and he did this, and look at all of the people that participated with me. I was like, oh, I love you kids. You're all annoying, but I love you so much.
We need to take a quick break, but I know you have so many more stories to tell, and we will tell them right after we take a quick break. You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Gilseth.
I'm Andy Bates.
Who am I? How has God gifted me? Where is God calling me to serve? Concordia University St. Paul helps students explore the answers to these questions. Through a Christ-centered Lutheran higher education, dedicated faculty, and engaging academic programs, CSP is here to walk alongside you in your educational journey. With more than 100 degree programs from undergraduate to graduate offered in person and online, CSP aims to prepare you for success however God calls you. Visit csp.edu to discover and engage your calling today. Welcome back to The Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Gilseth.
I'm Andy Bates.
We're talking with Lydia Beasley, Executive Director of the SOS Center in Milwaukee, and amazing stories, such fun stories that Lydia is telling us about the SOS Center. And I'm hearing a theme of empowering kids to be leaders and to do things that they may or may not think that they're capable of doing. Tell us more about the idea behind the SOS Center, the programming that you put on. I mean, I've heard chess and sewing and baking and business and all of these different opportunities. Tell us the why this is important to you, that these kids have these opportunities.
And thank you for asking, because sometimes I get excited and I jump all over the place. But, you know, the foundation for the place is the after school where they come to get, you know, help with homework or whatever. But why it's important to me, and I started adding on all of these other activities and programs, is because I feel that the more you know, the more you're going to grow within, because in school, I think school is very important, but there's different ways to learn and there's different ways for you to value school. If I'm not necessarily doing a good job in a certain subject or whatever, or if I'm feeling intimidated or whatever, but I'm over at this place and I'm killing the sewing, you know, that gives me confidence. And I carry that confidence over to school. You know, and I start talking to my instructor, hey, over here, I'm doing so on. But in everything we do, in everything, they don't have to know it. And everything we do is with a purpose. So in there is always us teaching God's word. And also, like the sewing lady and the chess guy would both tell you, also there's math, there's English in there. So they purposely embed that in their programs when they're doing it. So that's the thing that's exciting. And then you don't know which kid loves what. So that's my thought process in doing this, is that you don't know which one of them are gonna, you know, this is gonna be the thing. One of the guys told me I was looking at his drawings and I'm like, oh, you're an artist. I'm not an artist. I said, yes, you are. He said, I'm not an artist. So I sat down next to him and I drew some stick people. I said, so who's the artist? We're a small place, and I'm always trying to figure out how we can have a big impact. So we're small. Because we're small, sometimes we're able to move faster than larger organizations. Like when he said, you know, hey, I'm not an artist, the next few things that we had to promote or do anything or whatever, I had him draw pictures on them. So it was his artwork. And what we're going to do that we haven't done yet, we're going to do a fashion show. So everybody's all excited because it's a fashion show, you know. But that's not what it is. For them, it's all going to be a fashion show. But everybody who's in the fashion show has to write a book. And so they said, a book? And I'm like, a book can be 5 pages? And I said, I can guarantee you, if I start talking to you right now, you already have a story. And so you start listening to some of them, but he's going to do like some of the artwork and some of the books that are going to be written. And that's when you're small and you're a believer that these things, like, you can shift like that. You know, if you're larger, you can't shift like that. And we can, you know, you can have them come in and participate in it. We had one that turned into a kind of a big debate because, again, they can, you know, outvote me in this particular thing. And they said, hey, we want to have a party. And I'm like, we can't have a party here. I mean, these are all teenagers. You know, it's like, you guys know what kind of party you want to have. How can I ask people for funding and have these kind of parties here? Well, no, you know, we can. And one of the kids says, look, you know, Jesus is in this building. Jesus is in this building, and we cannot have a party in this building. It's like, whoop, what he said. So it's like, but I guess one of our biggest accomplishments, and I love the kids. I mean, I love them. I love the fact that they want you to be authentic as well. You know, I came in one time, and I'm going to switch to the other story, but I came in one time, and one of the girls asked me to hold my hand up. She said, can you hold your hand up like this? I said, sure. I don't know what we're up to, but sure. So she says, aren't you married? I said, I am. Where's your ring? I'm like, well, COVID happened and I didn't wear it as often. And then I got fat. She's like, so a week or so after that, I had my husband come up and introduced him to her. I want to make sure I'm okay with her. So, I mean, and the opportunity that you get, and it is, it's not that I have to do this. It's an opportunity that we get to connect with these kids in an area, in a place where, you know, maybe they don't have a recreation building to go to. They don't have somebody who's just going to sit and listen to you. I asked one girl one time, I said, hey, if you could have anything in your house that you wanted, what do you want? Honestly, I was trying to get her to take one of the desks there. So I was trying to mess with you. Said you got a break.
Well, we have just about 2 minutes left. And I want to ask a couple more things.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
You're all good. I love the stories. I just want to know, you've mentioned several people who have helped at SOS. I want to know, how are volunteers key to what you do at SOS Center?
Thank you. An excellent question. We could not do what we do. We couldn't do anything without volunteers. I mean, we would be at a loss if it wasn't for the volunteers and then the energy and the love and the kindness that they put into what they do. They come to after school to teach the youth, and also to, you know, they donate their own. They'll come and they will donate their own materials so we don't have to buy the materials. They'll spend like extra time. They'll spend one-on-one time. We couldn't exist without the volunteers.
What are the needs of SOS Center today, and how are those needs met?
To be honest with you, the needs really are donations. We need monthly donations so we can, I mean, it's hard to budget when people donate randomly. And, you know, I always try to tell people, donate into us and it is an investment. It's not money. It's an investment because you're investing into the youth. So, and I would say even prayers before that. Prayers first, then the donations, and then the volunteers to come in and help. With all that we do. And the volunteers, it's funny because sometimes the volunteers end up either staying and learning how to sew or learning how to do something too. They end up connecting with us on, you know, some other kind of level.
Sounds like you're learning a lot of skills along the way as well, too. How can we learn more about SOS Center in Milwaukee?
I would say, you know, we have a website, we have a Facebook page, and we love to give tours. It's one of our favorite things to do is to give tours. So people can, you know, schedule a tour and we'll walk them through the space and they'll be able to see hands-on, you know, what we do. It doesn't have to be an open house. It doesn't have to be that you're bringing 10 people with you. It could just be you. So again, being able to be in a small space, you're able to do things like that. Yeah.
SOScenterinc.org. Is that the right website?
Yes.
SOScenterinc.org. You can learn more there, including you can find their donate button there as well. Our guest today, Lydia Beasley, Executive Director for SOS Center in Milwaukee. Thank you so much for sharing these stories with us today. It's been great to chat.
Oh, you're welcome.
You've been listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support The Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.